Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
We're in Philippians chapter 2 as we continue our annual theme, our yearly theme of working out our salvation together. Philippians chapter 2 from verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life.
My son Will is a photographer. Well, part-time. Well, he likes it. Did it for his HSC. During his HSC years, I was his Uber driver at some points to go to take some photos. Mostly his mum did it, which I was grateful for because he really liked to get up super early in the morning or go really late at night. But there was this one time where Will and I had the opportunity to go and get some astrophotography opportunities. And so Will had decided that we would go to the Blueies up the Blue Mountains, and he had picked a specific spot that he wanted to go. Will knows the sky really well, and he knows landscapes really well. He doesn't know tracks really well, and so often most of the places that he picks, his mother will go when it's easy, and when it's a really complex, hard hike, she bails it over to me. So there was this really beautiful spot up in the mountains that Will wanted to take a photo, and we discovered that it was a really steep and rocky hike, and Will wanted to go right in the dead middle of the evening to take this photo of the stars. And so that was my job. And look, as horrifying as it is for me to wake up in the middle of the night and go out and drive into the middle of nowhere and hike down a dark pathway to the nowheres and take a photo, it was sort of a bit of an adventure. We had a great time. It was actually more for me, a part of it was the journey rather than the, you know, what came out at the end. It was great to be with Will and be in this space of adventure and discovery. And you know, I sat and I looked as he set up his camera and you know, looked at the sky through the apps on his phone, and sat to grab what in essence I think is a really great photo. It was dark. Like, I just remember it being really, really dark. But this is what it looked like. I don't know if we can just drop the stage lights, the platform lights. Yeah, there you go. It was amazing to be in an environment with someone that I really love and sit and be looking out. That's looking out across to the city. So that glow at the bottom is the city. But the sky was just alive, absolutely alive. And I remember sitting there shivering, freezing, but having this real sense of wonder and amazement about what is out there in the universe and how beautiful it is and how creative and amazing God is. And the stars have been there longer than I've been alive. Just a bit. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that people have wondered and sat and looked and marveled at the stars for eons. Some people have used the stars as points of navigation. Not me. I'm not that intelligent to know that. But you know, the stars have been used as points of navigation. The stars have been used as points of story. Stars are amazing and they're beautiful things. And they're worth wondering and enjoying whenever you can. As has been said a number of times today, we are digging into this sense of a bit of a yearly theme around what it means to work out our salvation together. And we grabbed hold of it at the beginning of this year and looked where this passage comes from in Philippians chapter 2. And Mark, for a couple of weeks, sort of just opened up this idea that there's something really important about being together. And there's something really potent in God's economy around what it means for people of faith to be together and work together and figure together what it means to live as people of faith. And so as we open that up, then we've jumped into the book of Romans and we've been looking at the book of Romans backwards. We've been looking at a whole bunch of lectionary readings and seasoned all through all of these messages, probably quite subtly but very carefully, is this idea of what it does mean for us to live distinctly as God's people. In a world that's very different, what does it mean for us to be together, to understand what the way that God wants us to live and act in his world, and then to do that? And so today, we wanted to just take a pause for 1 second and jump back to Philippians chapter 2, remind ourselves of what we're doing and as a community and how we can work together and what our purposes are together before we jump back into Romans and look at the next section of that, which is going to start next week. So that's what I wanted to do today, was just stop for a sec, take a look at Philippians chapter 2, dig into one, it's quite a familiar passage for a whole bunch of people, but I just wanted to dig into one or two small pieces of it that I guess God has been niggling at me, and then give us an opportunity off the back of that niggle. So can I pray as we jump in? God, I am aware that you love us. That you know us, and that you want to shape us into your likeness. And God, as you do for me, there's places in my life where you gently and sometimes not so gently poke at me. And my guess is that you do that for all of us. And today, God, I just want to invite you to continue to poke. As individuals, where you've got us on our journey with you, start to recall those things to mind today, God, that you've been either subtly or loudly calling us as individuals as we open up your word and we try and discover something new. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, thanks Sam for reading that. It's a really beautiful piece. And in the right in the middle of Philippians chapter 2, which is has a whole lot about what it means for us to be together. Paul, as he talks to the Philippian church, is really interested in the potency of the faith community. Right in the middle of Philippians chapter 2, he gives this context of who we are and where we are. And as he says, it was in Philippians 2:15, he invites us to do everything without grumbling or arguing so that we become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So right there in the middle of Philippians 2, he says to the Philippian church, we're in a warped and a crooked generation. So he calls out the context of the world that he's in. This is a warped and a crooked space. But he wasn't creating this as a new idea. It wasn't that the world had become warped and crooked at the time of his writing. He's grabbing an idea from Moses, who Moses said very specifically that the generation around his time was a warped and a crooked generation. I think that's from Deuteronomy chapter 31, where Moses spoke that. And so Paul picks up this idea of this warped and crooked generation then and now. And like, I don't know about you, but I think as I look out quite generally across our world, warped and crooked would sort of suit as a definition of where we're at now. We live in a world where a whole bunch of people don't know and don't follow the way that God had designed them to be, and the world is warped and crooked in many ways. I don't know whether it's more or less, or and I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that we have an opportunity in a space that is quite different from the way that we intend to live. But here's the opportunity, and Paul's really clear about it. He says, in a warped and a crooked generation, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. We are designed to shine like stars. Now, if that photo told you anything, it's that in the midst of the darkness, when you go into a place where there's no light pollution and the stars, they just stand out. They're just so bright and so brilliant. They stand out. We're designed to shine like stars in amongst a place of darkness. This is what Paul is saying. This is a really important thing for us as a community. We're designed to shine like stars. We're designed to stand out. And I guess the question, as I was digging into this in the last week or so, is do we stand out? Do we stand out? I started to think quite generally, and I also reflected as I was looking at that photo that Will took. I was out in my backyard earlier this week, and I can tell you that the view from my backyard in Bangor did not look like that. I don't know what it looks like from your backyard or from your balcony, but my backyard view of the sky doesn't look like that. There's a few stars. In amongst all of the light pollution that is Sydney, the stars seem to get sort of a bit washed out. But there are some that sort of stand out. And so that just sort of just got me thinking and wondering. I think we do stand out as people of faith, but quite often and quite generically, it's not, I don't think it's the way that Paul was intending for this, you'll stand out and shine like stars in a warped and crooked generation. I think if I look at stereotypes or caricatures, we sort of, like if you're a Simpsons fan, there's like the Ned Flanders factor. I think Altavi, we've got some pickies, yeah. As a stereotype of faith, and these are only just a small couple of grabs of images, I think either we're often and generally seen as, I guess, limp and legalistic, or we're seen as complexly enmeshed, or we're seen as, I guess, separated and irrelevant. And I don't think that's what we were meant to be at all. Not at all. In fact, we're encouraged to be distinct and live distinctively. Mark said a couple of months ago, and like, I grabbed onto this because it was just like delicious language. If you were here a couple of months ago when we started off this idea of working out our salvation together, he encouraged us that as people of faith, we are meant to be the lawless ones. Sorry, I looked at you then, Rox. Yes. Now I've made that connection. We are meant to be the lawless ones, ones that the law itself just wasn't necessary for us because it was so intrinsically a part of who we are that it was just unnecessary because we just exuded it and lived it. We are meant to be this group of people together and individually that is just so distinctively potent in the world that the image of Ned Flanders and all of that other complexity would just fade away, not as irrelevant, but as really unusual and interesting, distinctively standing out. We are meant to shine. We are meant to shine. And Paul is grabbing all of these ideas, as he says in Philippians 2, that we're meant to stand out and we're meant to shine. He's grabbing that from history. He's not just making up a new idea. When I read that piece, one of the first things I do is I think back to the promise to Abraham and when God asked him to look at the stars in the sky and talking about the generations, the story that's there about connecting people to stars. And then I know that Paul, very directly in Philippians chapter 2, he is referencing the crookedness generation, the complex persevering that Daniel had to do in his time. He references Daniel chapter 12 really clearly about this idea that those who are people of faith, who follow God, would be the wise ones who would shine like the stars in the heavens. And the gospel writers do the same thing. They're talking about us being light. Matthew in particular and John in particular, they really talk about light concepts a lot and connect that to us through Jesus being the light. And Paul talks about it pretty constantly in Ephesians, in Thessalonians, in Philippians. He just keeps referencing this idea that we are to live as children of the light, that we let our light shine. So we are built to shine. But I thought it might be handy, and it was certainly handy for me to put like a few legs on that because it's a great image. And I think for me, imagery is really, really important. But it's a great image, but it's always good to sort of flesh that out a little bit and put some legs on that. And so what I want to do is just sort of give you just four things that really stand out for me as a person who's a person that shines like a star. The first is that they are visibly embracing Jesus' way. Here in Philippians chapter 2, which we're sort of grabbing a hold of, that whole first section that you read, Sam, is a beautiful image of Jesus and his actions and his attitude as he lived and existed here on earth. And the invitation is for us to be like that, to actually visibly embrace the way of Jesus in and around our everyday. We're also called to be people that persevere in darkness. That in dark places, we continue. That we persevere and we continue to aim to shine our light. I mean, realistically, as you think about it, like as far as stars go, stars only come out in the darkness. And so it's in the darkness that God's people have the capacity and ability to shine. So we're people that visibly embrace Jesus' way. We're people that persevere in darkness. We're people that live distinctively, not just loudly. Stars are distinct. The light of a star is distinct from the darkness. We're meant to live distinctively. In practical terms, I heard a story the other day of it was raining this week and someone was walking along in a crowd and someone in front of this person dropped their umbrella on the ground and the crowd sort of just walked over the top of it. This person sort of, you know, bent down and picked up the umbrella and rushed forwards through the crowd just to give it back. A tiny, simple act, but it was different from what was happening around. It was a choice to live differently. Really simple, really small, but really potent. We're meant to live distinctively, not just loudly, not by just trying to communicate, hey, I'm a Christian and you should be too, you should follow God. It's about the way we act and the way that we live and the way we interact with others in our world. So we visibly embrace the way that Jesus does things. We persevere in darkness. We live distinctively and we stay connected to Christ and we stay connected to the Word of Life. And this is a really, really important piece as Paul is opening up this idea for us. Because as he says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the Word of Life. And that's what caught me when I read this passage. You'll shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the Word of Life. So it's this idea of, well, what does it mean for you? When you hear that idea of holding firmly to something, just think for 1 second, what's an image that comes into your head? For me, that image is like holding a big tug of war rope. Like the intent, you know, the intentionality of grabbing hold, holding firmly and holding tight. This is what Paul's inviting us and encouraging us to. He's like, you'll shine like stars as you hold tightly to the Word of Life. But the beauty of the way that Paul writes is that's not exactly what he meant, but it is. The words that Paul used as he wrote this particular phrase, as you hold firmly to the Word of Life, there's a couple of little nuances there that are just absolutely beautiful. And I think, well, I don't even think, I know, just inspired by God. Not only can you interpret these words as holding firmly, but you can also translate these words that Paul used as giving attention. Which is quite a little bit different from holding firmly. But if you read that again, you'll shine among them like stars in the sky as you give attention to the Word of Life. There's something deliciously beautiful there about the idea of what it means to give attention. Giving attention to the words of the gospel and of the truth, this is our opportunity. We'll shine like stars as we pay attention and give attention to God's message and who He is. But not only that, there's also another way of interpreting this phrase that Paul gives, and it's this idea of holding towards or presenting. So if you hear that again, you'll shine among them like stars in the sky as you present the Word of Life. I think very intentionally, Paul's asking us, he's showing us three different things here. This sense of persevering and holding on tight. This sense of what it means to give attention to the Word of Life and what that means in us. And then how we hold out and present the Word of Life to those around us. And all these three things that I know for me, I tend to maybe disconnect a little bit in my world and in my thinking. Paul has them actually mushed together in this one beautiful phrase that says, you will shine, you are built to shine like a star in the sky as you hold tight to the Word of Life, as you give attention to the Word of Life and what that means inside your life, and as you hold out and present it to the world around you. Locked together, a really wonderful and a beautiful interplay there. And here is the wonder for me in just a few verses before that. Like that sounds like a bit of work for me, right? You know, as I hold tightly, as I give attention, and as I hold out and present the Word of Life. But just a little bit earlier in this passage, Paul says this, therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now so much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. As much as it's my opportunity and my responsibility to persevere or to try and live the way that Jesus did and focus in and give attention and hold firmly and present, it is God doing that inside of me. He is shaping my will. He's poking at my will. He's poking at your will to shape it according to his purposes. Like that. I have no idea how he does that, but I know he does. That is just a continuous mystery to me. And if you've ever been in a situation in your life where God has poked or prodded you to the point where it starts to shape the way that you feel and the way that you think and then the way that you act, this is the work of God that's in all of us. As we continue to work at our salvation together, it's God who works to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, if there is any reason for us to try and work out our salvation together, that would be the conversation that I would want to have. How is God doing that in your life? How is he just influencing you and shaping you? Man, that's cool. If you want to have a conversation with me about that, I am up for it. Any day. It's a wonderful, wonderful mystery. Wow. Someone said to me the other day, and this caught me off guard, but it was excellent. I have to change what I'm looking at so that God can change what I see. I have to change what I'm looking at so that God can change what I see. There's an opportunity and a responsibility for me as God is sort of shaping and poking at my insides to actually act and respond to that. Because things don't always look the way that they appear. As I said, you know, I stand out on my balcony in Bangor and I look up at the stars of the sky and there is 10. But if I travel a couple of hours west and I look up at the stars of the sky, there are billions. And it's not like they're not there. It's just that I can't see them. There's pollution in the way when I'm in my backyard. So it's like there's a deep and complex opportunity for me, for us, to shift our perspective, to wonder about what opportunities exist as we live in a warped and a crooked world, which leads me to only one place and the most appropriate place that anybody can be led, and that's to the movie National Treasure. Who has not seen National Treasure? Be honest with me. So disappointed. It's by far the second best movie in the world. Because we all know what the best movie in the world is, don't we? Yes. I'm not telling you. You should know. National Treasure is a really cool adventure movie about discovering secret messages in places where there was no secret, potentially, unless you believe the movie. But anyway, the main character in the movie, it goes on all of these sort of unlocks clues and goes from place to place. At one point in the story, he finds a set of glasses. The glasses look a little bit like this. Yeah, yeah. The premise is that on the back of the Declaration of Independence, there is a secret message. And the back of the Declaration of Independence, after he obviously goes and steals it, I'm not going to spoil any other part of the movie for... I'm so sorry, I've got to spoil the movie for you. It's just blank. It's just blank. And so there's a whole bunch of disappointment as they try and figure out and wrestle with the fact that there is nothing there on the back of the Declaration of Independence. But then he finds the glasses. And he puts the glasses on, and they've got a whole bunch of different lenses, and they flip up and down. And what he sees is this. And I kid you not, this is actually... Thanks, Altavi. Next one. He sees this. It's a little bit hard to see, but literally, and I'm not joking, on the back of the Declaration of Independence, there is a secret message. It's unbelievable. It's true. Main character, he puts on these glasses, and by putting on and adjusting the lenses, he sees something that was there but just couldn't be seen. And I think the reason that Philippians and Paul brings me to National Treasure and to these glasses is because I think this is our opportunity. Our opportunity is to look at life and look at moments through different lenses. I'm getting to that age and stage in my life where these are my new lenses, and when I'm looking at a computer screen or when my phone's a bit close, it's getting a little blurry. I don't know why, but it's happening to me. And if I put these on, like the world in front of me sharpens. As a person that hasn't worn glasses all of my life, it's incredible. Has anyone experienced this? It's incredible what happens when you pop some lenses on and things come into focus. This is our opportunity. We are designed to shine like stars in a warped and a crooked generation as we hang on to and we give attention to and we hold out the word of life. But in a place where there's a whole bunch of light pollution, we need different lenses. We need to actively make a choice that says, I'm going to put on a different lens and see things through God's perspective. I'm going to wonder in the moments. I'm going to sit and I'm going to look at this beautiful expanse in front of me like I was up in the mountains and just say, oh my gosh, I'm seeing some things that weren't there before. As I walk into my day and I'm interacting with this person or that person, if I have the opportunity to put on a different lens. Say, hey God, today in my world, I'm interested to see what you want to do. I'm available because I'm hanging on. I'm interested to see, I'm giving attention to your things. You're poking people all around the world because they're all your people. And I want to present the word of life as best I can. So I'm popping on a different lens. And I'm inviting you, God, to show me the things that I can't see, but you can see. That's when we start to shine. That's when we start to shine. Could you imagine a world where that's happening, where all of us got up tomorrow morning and we invited that opportunity of God to say, God, you are poking and prodding your people towards you. I'm really interested to see what you're doing. Show me what I can't see. Show me the things that you can see. And I'll jump into that. And I'll hold out and I'll present the word of life because I'm interested and I'm giving attention to it. I think that's what Paul's meaning when he says that we'll shine like stars in a warped and a crooked generation as we hold on to the word of life. So I want to offer us an opportunity today as a community. And I know Mark's not here. Mark, if you're watching this online, sorry, I'm just going rogue. I'm not actually, like, a bunch of us sat together at the beginning of this year, and as we were wrestling with this idea of working out our salvation together, we wondered about what the opportunity would be to have some challenges as a community we could engage in. And then we can reflect backwards and forwards and see what God's doing in and amongst our community. So I want to drop one of those out there today for us. And it's really quite simple. It's choose and share. Choose something to give your attention to. What's God poking and prodding you on? I'm not going to be specific, but I'm going to be clear on this point. God pokes and prods me in different parts of my heart and my life all the time, and I'm assuming that he does the same for you. I'm wondering, is there something that he's been either subtly or not subtly inviting you to recently? I'm wondering if you could just choose one of those things. So I'm going to give more attention to what you're doing there, God. I'm going to give more attention to that. And then the second thing would be, once you've done that, once you've actually said to God, I am actually going to give you the attention that you're asking for in this particular part of my world, then to share it. This is the working together piece. Share it with someone. Figure it out together. Wonder about it together. Obviously, choose the thing and the person that you feel okay and comfortable to talk about. But how amazing and how wonderful would it be if some of our conversations started to link into this world, where we said, I'm choosing to put on a different lens today. I'm wondering what God's going to ask me to do. I'm going to wondering how God is going to give me an opportunity to shape in my life or in someone else's. And I'm going to share that with somebody else. And we're going to work on it together. I don't know why I keep asking God to do this and he's not doing anything. And so, you know, that wondering, hey, Link, let's have a coffee. And, you know, like this has been happening in my life. And so I'm inviting God, but I'm stuck. And then together we have a bit of a chat and we encourage each other. And you talk to me about like maybe something that's going on in your world at your work and something's going really great. And I'm really encouraged by that. And we lift and we shape and we encourage each other together so that we continue to have an impact out in the world. I'll give you three very quick examples just so that I'm a little bit clearer. I had a conversation, and these are all from this week. I had three conversations this week. First one was with a person who just said to me, I'm feeling compelled to be kind. Not that this person is not a kind person, but God was compelling this person to just actively be purposefully kind to everyone around them. And so they were setting out to do that. How can I look into my world and the people that I'm around and be kind? And I think that was a beautiful response to a prodding. Another conversation I had was with an old friend who God was just prodding him and his for his family about what it meant to read the Bible together. And so for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been reading together as a family, and the conversations in family life have been shifting and changing because they've actively started to give attention to that part of their world. I had a conversation with someone yesterday where they said, God is just inspiring me on the little things. I'm noticing now the little things that are in and around, way more than I have ever before. And I'm feeling different about the way that God interacts with the world because I'm noticing all of these beautiful and little things that God has done and is doing. The way that a flower opens up. The way that there's a crack in the pavement looks like a smiley face. I'm noticing these things and attributing that to God in my life. Just choose something where God is just poking and prodding you and share it with somebody else. And as we do that, we'll have this opportunity to spur and encourage and wrestle together as we try and figure out what it means to be a people that are called to live distinctively and differently. And as we keep that conversation going, we will shine like stars amongst a warped and a crooked generation the way that we were meant to. Can we pray together? God, I'm so grateful that, and I know that as I look at your word and the words of life that you give, that I find this opening expanse and immensity of who you are, so much more than when I skim past your things. God, we want to be a people that follow you and live your way, and in doing so, help the world to understand that there is a better way. God, inspire each of us in the way that you want to give attention to you and to your words of life so that we can do it together. And together we figure out what it means to live as individuals and as people, as your people of faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.